Welcome back to Coast AM. My name is Rob Simone, and I am thrilled and honored to be with you once again, taking over the airwaves. And tonight is going to be one of those nights where we make known the unknown, where we spill out this. It's not a conspiracy anymore. It's a growing concern. It's a subject that is ultimately, I think, going to affect everybody on the planet. We're going to talk about geoengineering. Now, what does that mean? That means a man-made attempt to change the weather. Now, right there, you're probably thinking, oh boy, you know, that's one thing you don't want to mess around with. But it's too late. We've already been doing it. And I wonder how far it's gone already. Now, listeners of Coast to Coast AM will know that this subject has been brought up a few times. And they've talked about HAARP and the things that are sort of out there. But we're going to go in deep. And you are going to be surprised at what is going to come out about this, how it's actually played out on the world stage. Coming up first is Dane Wigington. He's an extensive background in this type of subject matter, geoengineering, and the political reach that weather modification has had in the world. And then later, Scott Stevens is going to join us. He's an award-winning television weatherman. He's investigated these subject matters for many years. And right out of the gate, when people hear the term weather modification or geoengineering, they think, oh, well, that's something that they talk about on late night talk shows. But let me give you a brief overview of this subject matter. Let's go back to 1931, believe it or not. A book called The Scientific Outlook, penned by Lord Bertram Arthur Russell, winner of the Nobel Peace Prize in Literature in 1950. In his book, he discussed manipulating the weather and said, it may be that God made the world, but there's no reason why we can't make it over. Now, going to 1952, Charles Galton Darwin, a physicist, worked on the Manhattan Project, also the grandson of Charles Darwin, talked about gaining direct control over the climate in his book, The Next Million Years. Now, weather modification has been tinkered with in all kinds of military programs. The 1940s, U.S. Navy and Air Force were working with General Electric, attempting these experiments to modify hurricanes by dropping in about 80 pounds of dry ice. Project Cumulus in the early 50s. That was carried out by the British Royal Air Force. They started tinkering with these cloud seeding experiments over southern England, and it was allegedly responsible for the 1952 flood of the Devon village of Lynmouth, which resulted in 34 deaths and the destruction of multiple structures. And it goes on and on. Project Stormfly, Project Skyfire, where they're using all kinds of silver iodide. And multiple countries, including the United States, now have active programs. In 1997, the Wall Street Journal reported that in order to dissipate excess fog, the Malaysian government would be signing an agreement with Russian officials for the use of technology that would allow them to create a cyclone. Okay, well, it gets better. The United Nations, in fact, come into this because there was a treaty signed, the Convention on the Prohibition of Military or Any Other Hostile Use of Experimental Modification Techniques. That's the name of it. And all the big countries signed it. December 10th, 1976. And so that technology must have existed then. And it surely did. And the Russians seem to be really the ones that have been pushing this out there. Going back to 2009, the mayor of Moscow claimed that this winter, there would be no snow. He was going to enlist the Russian Air Force to help disperse approaching clouds that normally would drop several feet of snow on the Russian capital. And so he's decided, well, we're going to use dry ice and cement particles or silver iodide in the clouds and create this crystallization that leads to precipitation instead of snow, thinking that it would be cheaper to do that than to get the plows in. And he also wanted to alter the course of a river. He said that he wanted to change the flow of the River Orb to help irrigate Russia's Central Asian neighbors, which was declared unfeasible at the time. But it makes you wonder if he's making these proclamations. It's got to be based in some kind of technology that he was privy to. And America has been accused of using weather, albeit from Hugo Chavez, but going back to 2010, remember that horrible earthquake in Haiti? Well, a lot of people don't know that after that, Hugo Chavez, the president of Venezuela, said that America was the cause of it using an earthquake weapon, and that it was a prelude to invade Haiti and put our military there. He also says that we have weapons that can cause floods and droughts and hurricanes. And it's something that we are preparing to use in an upcoming war with Iran. 2010 also produced a GAO, General Accounting Office, report on climate change called The Preliminary Observations on Geoengineering, Science, Federal Efforts, and Governance Issues. So this is something that millions of taxpayer dollars have gone to, not only in developing the technology, but studying it. And let me bring you up to date. The latest thing to cross my desk was a forum held in Arizona. State Senator Kelly Ward held a public forum June 25th about geoengineering. It was very well attended. And this is not just something that politicians and researchers are involved in. It is a cause célèbre. There are many celebrities who have been vocal about this. Roseanne Barr, Woody Harrelson. And again, it led to a public forum in Arizona, held by State Senator Kelly Ward, June 25th. And she brought with her Sherry Zendry, who was administrative counsel with the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality. The crux of the meeting really focused around the inability of the state to do anything about this phenomenon. A lot of people were there about the chemtrails and about the poison in the water and the things. And they're saying, look, we can't do anything about it. If it falls on this ground and you're suffering or you have medical issues, it doesn't quite get into the state system. But it's nice to know that they held a forum anyway. There was enough public outcry that they responded. So that right there is a message that people are listening. It's kind of one of these situations where it falls between the cracks. If you have to find the department that handles the oversight for the department that you feel is responsible for affecting you on the ground. So it gets a little bit complicated, but that doesn't mean there's not a solution ultimately. So to get more information on this, we're going to bring on Dane Wigington. His website is geoengineeringwatch.org, and we're going to speak to him right after this quick break. Welcome back to Coast AM, and we're talking with Dane Wigington, who's a leading researcher in geoengineering. Dane, welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you, Rob. You know, I've done hundreds of radio shows. I've never had, ever, I say this in complete respect for what you just laid out, I've never had a host that was so incredibly accurate and articulate and had that much data to present. So my deepest respect for you helping to bring credibility to this issue, which has been the problem the whole time. And the semantics are extremely important to use the science terms for these programs so it leads to credibility. SAG, stratospheric aerosol geoengineering, SRM, solar radiation management, SAI, stratospheric aerosol injection. These are all terms that relate to these programs. And yes, people seem to have been programmed enough to think that this is somehow some fringe story. There's no debate these programs are going on. In fact, I'm looking at a document right now that I found in the NASA archives. People can find this online if they Google 1966 government document geoengineering, a recommended national program and weather modification report to the Interdepartmental Committee for Atmospheric Sciences. This was a presidential report. The departments listed on this report, and they outlined this, 80 pages long, by the way, budgets in the hundreds of millions of dollars as of 1966, Department of Defense, Department of Commerce, Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, Department of Interior, Department of State, Federal Aviation Agency, Council of Economic Advisors, Atomic Energy Commission, National Science Foundation, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, Department of Agriculture, Bureau of the Budget, Arms and Disarmament Agency, Smithsonian, about 10 other major universities. I don't want to rattle your ear too much, but I mean, this sort of documentation is there. These programs have existed, do exist. We have film footage of it happening at altitude, up close, KC-10s, KC-135s, C-17 Globemasters. Facts, facts, facts.
Yeah. The real headline is that this is going on. This is a real thing. And that's what I want to start from, is that this reality is upon us, and we need to look at the ramifications of it. But just a quick aside, I want to tell people how synchronicity works in what I do. I was just a short while ago, matter of days, I was up in Mount Shasta, and I was walking around. I was in hanging out in Berryville. You know Berryville?
I know what it is, yeah.
Yeah, the health food store there.
Yep.
And I was walking past to the restrooms, and there's a bulletin board. And what caught my eye but a flyer, and it said geoengineeringwatch.org. It was for your website.
It is. I've distributed 120,000 of those color glossy flyers so far.
So I look at this thing. I'm like, okay, that caught my eye. Start to look at it. One thing led to another, reached out, and here we are. But this is something that I feel very strongly about, because as we laid out, there is a reality going on here, and a lot of people don't know how real it is. But give us an idea of where things are right now. Where is most of this research or this manipulation going on right now? Is it Russia? Is it China? Or is it America?
It's going on around the globe. The NATO powers appear to be an epicenter of these programs. They're being ramped up rapidly, which is making an already bad situation exponentially worse in regard to the climate. It appears that Russia, last September, when the IPCC was issuing its report, for those that don't know what the IPCC is, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, largest scientific panel ever assembled in human history on any subject, they were going to submit this climate summary with virtually no mention of geoengineering, the largest single factor affecting climate disruption today, not the only factor. There are so many things affecting the climate and anthropogenic activity from too many directions to go into, but they were going to submit this huge report without even mentioning such a massive part to the puzzle as climate engineering. Russia asked the IPCC to address this issue. So although Russia and China absolutely are involved, there's no question about this. We go back to the last Olympics in China. They made clear they would make sure it would not rain over those events. And, you know, a very clear disclosure of climate engineering in that regard.
Yeah.
But in this case, Russia asked the IPCC to address climate engineering, and we seem to see some signs, Rob, that Russia may be having second thoughts. Siberia is burning to the ground right now. 100 million acres went up in flames in 2012, a little less 2013. 2014 is looking worse than 2012. You can't do what the climate engineers are doing and not have a completely derailed, disrupted, and shredded climate system. So it appears Russia may be having some second thoughts at this point, but the Western powers appear to be going all out. And those examples you gave of what amounts to weather warfare, there's no other term for it, with countries who are opposing some of the Western power policies. We have example after example. I can go into that if you'd like.
Yeah, well, we're just coming up to a break, but I want to go through some of the things I laid out, and I want to get you to expand upon them a little bit. But just to let people know that absolutely, China has a declared Department of Weather Modification. In fact, they showed video of it. They were shooting these shells up in the air. They're saying, no, we're going to make sure it's not going to rain during the Olympics. And that's exactly what they did. And that was years ago. And that was the public version. So God knows what else they got hidden away in these dark silos and underground bases. This is Coast to Coast AM. Keep it right here. We're coming right back after the break. Yes, welcome back. This is Coast to Coast AM. So we're talking about weather modification. And I want you to really, you know, be mindful. We're going to get a lot of information about a lot of different departments and things, and I want you to get involved. For example, there's a march coming, September 27th, the Global March Against Chemtrails and Geoengineering. And that is something that I think if you want to get proactive, you can. Now, all this information, of course, is available through these various websites, but I encourage you to become a Coast to Coast Insider, so you can go back and listen to all this stuff and have it at your fingertips. It's 15 cents a day, and you get all the apps. You get private chats and emails with George, and you go back 5 years and listen to all this great content. And, you know, it always sort of confounded me why there's not a TiVo for the radio. Because so many times when I hear something, I want to go back 20 seconds. So the next best thing to having a TiVo for the radio is to become a Coast Insider. So do check that out. That's up at Coast to Coast AM. And Dane, we were talking earlier. You're still there. You're up in Mount Shasta, right?
I'm actually on the east side of Lake Shasta.
Lake Shasta.
Northern California. What was a thriving boreal forest with 70 inches of annual rainfall only 10 years ago. The ecosystem here is virtually imploding.
Wow.
In the last 10 years, we've seen a 90% decline in aquatic insect life and terrestrial insects, as measured by Forest Service biologists. A lot of things not being reported these days, Rob.
Yeah, well, that's why we do what we do here. Let's jump back to this story I read earlier about the mayor of Moscow talking about how in 2009 he was going to create a winter without snow. Do you think that this guy was sort of talking out of turn, or was this something that he knew he could do and was trying to make promises that he could, in fact, keep?
I think that the data indicates absolutely that these promises are not made idly. They do have this sort of power. In fact, not just to eliminate snow, but to create snow. Just to recap something before the break, the Chinese Bureau of Weather Modification. This is a Fox News mainstream media headline from November 11, 2009, News Corp. Artificial snowstorms wreak havoc in Beijing. Chinese scientists have artificially induced the second major snowstorm to wreak havoc in Beijing this season, state media said today, reigniting the debate over practicing or tinkering with Mother Nature. So, again, they can disperse such storms, and they can augment and even create such storms with artificial ice nucleation. So people have been led to believe that the weather is not so malleable. This is not true. The science doesn't support this. In fact, we have a single volcanic eruption in 1992, Mount Pinatubo, which as of that year, up till that year, just that one single eruption made 92 by 50% the lowest rainfall year ever recorded. So the weather is very, very sensitive. The climate is very sensitive. People simply don't know this. They've been told otherwise. They've chosen to believe that. Not true.
Yeah.
Not true.
So we can create weather out of nothing? Can we sort of gin up a storm, whether there are no clouds or not?
The moisture has to be in the atmosphere in order to cause precipitation. This is why it's such an absolute farce over California when they put out red herrings that they're going to seed clouds. When there's no clouds with no moisture, you can't seed nothing. So they are, in the case of California, the drought here, and I've just done a presentation called Engineered Drought Catastrophe Target California, and the rain blocking exercises of the geoengineers here are extremely well documented. Satellite imagery of blanket grid pattern spraying upstream in the storm track above California, day in, day out. We have many of these images posted. So when you saturate the atmosphere with too many condensation nuclei, that's not seeding for rain. That disperses rainfall. Too many condensation nuclei, too many particles for the water moisture to adhere to. It tends to migrate moisture, just like the Mount Pinatubo eruption that I mentioned earlier. So as this moisture is migrated, doesn't come down in the west, record-shattering drought in the west, too much rain in the east, whole hydrological system disrupted from top to bottom.
How many people do you think have died so far, have been a casualty of this artificial manipulation of the weather?
That is really a key question, and this is why people ask, why wouldn't they disclose this? The liability issue, and I spoke to an insider in one of these programs, one of the architects, a month ago about this issue. It's the liability issue. This is why agencies don't want to disclose it. Nobody does. Let's look at respiratory mortality alone in the continental U.S. Respiratory mortality from 2005 to 2010 went from eighth on the list of mortality to third. We know mathematically the amount of materials they're putting in the air is enough to change soil pHs in the forest floor 10 to 12 times toward alkaline. NOAA is admitting, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, admitting on the record the atmosphere is full of particulates and they don't know where it's coming from. So the amount of mortality that's been caused by this directly could never be quantified. Indirectly, again, never be quantified. And now we add a whole lot of other things like the skin cancers that are going off the charts. We know climate engineering, saturating the atmosphere with particulates, shreds ozone. We know this. We know we have massive northern and southern hemisphere ozone holes now. UVB, the more lethal band of UV, off the charts. Absolutely off the charts. We know because we're metering it. We're seeing UVB levels hundreds of percentile points above what we're being told. So indirectly, you have so many more liability issues created. So on mortality, Rob, it would be incalculable.
That is really the crux of where this thing is going to go in the future. But let me just ask you about these particulates. You say that saturating the air, well, the upper atmosphere or lower atmosphere, with particulates actually depletes the ozone. I mean, what level of strata are we talking about?
Well, this is where it gets more interesting because you have, you know, what's described as SAG, stratospheric aerosol geoengineering, but we know that most of these aerosol disbursements are taking place in the troposphere. But nevertheless, the scientific documentation to back up once the atmosphere has such small particulates introduced into it, they migrate everywhere, up and down the air columns. So you have science study from MIT, Scientific American. There's literally several dozen major science sources that document the ozone depleting effects of saturating the atmosphere with particulates. This is true even in the case of a volcanic eruption. You can't put particulates in the atmosphere without having this effect on ozone. And in fact, again, on the ozone depleting effect, so many science agencies have confirmed this would absolutely be a consequence of climate engineering, although, again, the denial in the climate science community is absolutely inexcusable at this point, that they still won't admit to these programs going on, and they won't admit to the ozone depletion. In fact, Canadian scientists, people can look up anything I say. I challenge anybody. My only goal is to have them investigate everything I say. Canadian government said on the record that their climate scientists would be terminated or excused from their employment if they spoke to media about the massive northern hemisphere ozone hole. So that's the sort of cover-up you have going on right now.
Now, I want to ask you about this Hugo Chavez, the former president of South American country, and as he claimed that America was responsible for the earthquake in Haiti. So we're going to get to that right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. We're talking about this 100% real ongoing phenomenon of geoengineering with Dane Wigington, researcher. His website is linked up right now at coasttocoastam.com. And well, just before the break, Dane, I was alluding to Hugo Chavez, the former president of Venezuela, and he came out with something that I'm sure a lot of people thought was really off the wall, claiming that the earthquake in 2010 was caused by America, the one that hit Haiti, as a pretense to militarily invade Haiti. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, this is where the technology is so astounding that it is very difficult to believe unless you've really looked at the data surrounding it. In 2010, early 2010, I believe, Chavez accused the U.S. of, quote, playing God, and he accused them of triggering the Venezuelan, or excuse me, the Haiti quake with a, quote, earthquake weapon. I mean, this is, again, to people who know nothing about these technologies, it sounds astounding. But I'm sure many people have heard of HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. This is only one of over two dozen large ground-based ionosphere heaters. That's what these installations do. They're extremely powerful RF frequency transmitters, not receivers, but transmitters. So they can heat areas of the ionosphere, according to official information, even by the U.S. DOD, to 15,000 degrees Fahrenheit, areas perhaps 400 to 500 square miles. So as to connect this with the saturation of the atmosphere with these reflective metal and conductive particulates, this is also used in conjunction with what you're referring to in Haiti right now, because as they ionize the atmosphere, they make it more conductive. That makes these RF frequency transmitters more effective. They can bounce the signal off the atmosphere right back into strata. If it's in a seismically sensitive zone, this massive transmission of power can cause tectonic movement if it's in the right place at the right time. And the way they discovered this technology, or one of the ways, very low power survey equipment in a very seismically sensitive zone was actually triggering tremors. So again, we can't prove this, but the technology absolutely seems to exist. And to take it one further, Rob, you have even organizations like MIT stating on the record that there was a very anomalous heating of the atmosphere directly above the location where the seismic movement occurred that caused the Japanese quake. And again, this heating of the atmosphere is documented by some of the most reputable science organizations on the planet. Now, what MIT referred to, or what they're guessing at, because they won't acknowledge the ionosphere heaters, they're stating that they believe somehow, they don't know how, but somehow this heating of the atmosphere was a result of that quake about to happen, not the other way around. They're putting the cart in front of the horse. The heating of the atmosphere and the signal that's being pumped into the strata is the mechanism by which it appears even that quake may have been triggered. There's too many coincidences here all the way around. And this technology, again, all I can say is with the ionosphere heaters, the technology is so astounding, people must research or they won't believe it.
Mm. Well, I'm surprised to hear this, because I would have thought that to cause an earthquake, you would use ELF, some of these long waves that can go through the earth. That's how we communicate with our subs. These waves have a way of penetrating, well, just the nature of the waves can penetrate through the earth. And I would have thought maybe somehow they would have found the resonant frequency of this particular area, and that's what triggered these quakes, not something like microwave.
Like RF frequency, I'm not singling anything out. I'm simply stating this is radio frequency transmission.
Okay.
And when we have, again, institutions like MIT acknowledging this heating of the atmosphere directly above that epicenter, you know, with in regard to intricacies of details, I think for a lot of people, I'm trying to keep things in a more straightforward manner. But these are, again, they're RF frequency transmitters, and the combination of frequencies used for whatever application. I mean, we can all speculate on some of those intricacies, but the bottom line is that there's a lot that appears to be going on. And you take other weather modification or weather warfare instances. Let's look at Cyclone Haiyan. Let's compare that to what happened in Haiti. Cyclone Haiyan intensified very anomalously right before it tore a swath right through the middle of the Philippines. I mean, you had a lot of meteorologists and climate scientists scratching their heads at how that hurricane intensified so radically and so rapidly. The U.S. immediately moved in under humanitarian pretext and setting up bases there now. Pakistan, 2010, showed resistance to U.S. policy, again found 20% of their country underwater almost immediately. Thailand, 2011, refused the U.S. an airbase that they were told was for weather monitoring. The Thai government, I believe, knew it was for weather modification. They refused. Record flooding again. There's too many instances here to call coincidence.
Well, let's go just a little bit deeper into this. The statement by Hugo Chavez was him actually citing an alleged report from Russia's Northern Fleet. And it goes on to say that the United States was also to blame for the January 9th earthquake in Eureka, California, the 7.8 quake in China that killed 90,000 people in 2008 and was somehow a test run for the coming showdown in Iran. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, again, you know, you reach a point where there's no way we can prove any of that, but there is enough data to really, beyond doubt, prove that this technology does, in fact, exist. We know that the military has always desired to, quote, own the weather. I challenge anybody to Google that term, owning the weather. You'll find military documentation that expresses that exact goal, to own and manipulate the weather. Why wouldn't they want to own or control the weather? And in addition, when you have the top U.S. military brass stating on the record that they consider climate change the greatest national security threat of all, again, I challenge everybody, Google what I'm saying. Don't believe me. Then you have what I believe to have been an accurate release from Snowden based on what we would expect to see for documentation on this. I quote from Snowden directly here. This is what he said, the crux of the documentation stated that he released. If this program, i.e. geoengineering, were to stop, the scientists behind it strongly believe that within just 1 year, the North American climate would spiral out of control, and crop failures would lead to a series of devastating famines and quickly depopulate urban areas. Now, I'm not saying that I believe this statement is accurate or that I believe geoengineering is in any way, shape, or form for the common good. It's not. But this is what we would expect a military document to say. They're not going to say we're wreaking weather warfare on the American population. They're obviously not going to say that on a military document. What Snowden released appears to be what we would have expected a military document to say. So, again, there's so much data to corroborate these programs are going on, and the bottom line for all of it is this. We have film footage of it happening with U.S. military aircraft. We have the same materials listed in climate engineering patents falling to the ground in absolutely gargantuan amounts, and CARB, California Air Resources Board, has made it clear in their studies it's not coming from China. It's of local origin, and it's absolutely it's destroying the biosphere from top to bottom, Rob. So, I mean, again, the amount of data to back up our subject matter tonight is immense.
You were saying off the air about some instances where you felt there was retribution, that certain countries had suffered when they did or did not do things that the United States wanted them to do. And you pointed to some calamities in Iran and other places.
Well, let's look at that. I mean, every single destabilized Middle East country has had record drought prior to destabilization unfolding on the ground. We've had the president of Iran and the vice president on the floor of the UN stating emphatically and on the record that their country was being droughted out by NATO weather modification programs. So the same thing happened in Afghanistan, Libya, Syria. Is this all just coincidence? Let's look at Africa. Let's go back several more decades. All these countries that are continuously being droughted out in Africa, boots on the ground, U.S. boots on the ground, and every single one of them now, is that just a coincidence? And in regard to the protracted droughts, which we have the climate science communities telling us that we should expect a lot more drought around the globe with quote-unquote climate change or global warming. The planet's definitely warming. I mean, whatever a person wants to consider the cause, the planet is warming. But the atmosphere carries 7% more moisture for every degree of warming. So overall, according to the laws of physics, it should be raining more, not less. And the only plausible explanation for it raining less is this atmosphere full of particulates, which NOAA can't seem to figure out where they're coming from again. And this dot is just simply being ignored by the climate science community.
Has there been, in your opinion, any clear examples of weather modification as used as some sort of, sort of political retribution or even warfare?
Well, let's look at Hurricane Sandy. Let's look at that. A lot of people still scratching their heads over that one. How could the weather modelers know that that hurricane would take a completely unprecedented 90-degree westerly turn 7 days ahead of time? How could they possibly have known that? So is it possible that there was some pushback growing with certain U.S. leaders, governors, who knows? And was this perhaps a shot across the bow? And what's more anomalous about that storm, Rob, is not only did it make this 90-degree westerly turn, but Hurricane Sandy had a 940 millibar low-pressure center, 1,000-mile circulation. Should have been a Cat 3 or Cat 4 hurricane, not a Cat 1. Did horrific damage, yes, but it should have been much more cataclysmic. And we saw that storm being aerosolized over the top, which diminishes the convection. So it appears that that was a measured blow, if you will. That's what that storm adds up to. So, again, a lot of data there to back this up.
Well, stay right there. I'm going to talk to you about the science of actually controlling storms as far as their direction. And you've already sort of pointed out that the intensity can be tinkered with, too. We're talking with Dane Wigington. His website is geoengineeringwatch.org. And coming up later is Scott Stevens, going to carry on this discussion about geoengineering. Stay right here. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM.